Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
The message I'm going to be preaching today, I actually wrote or, you know, created the framework for in June last year, and I never felt the release in God to preach it. I kind of wanted to preach it in June and then in July and then in September and then in November. I just really felt the Lord saying no, and I just wasn't feeling a sense to preach it. And then towards the end of last year, I really got drawn to the notes for this sermon again. And this Sunday, I feel like I want to release it today to Marianne and Bunbury location. Is that okay? So we're going to go to the Gospels in John chapter 11. And we're going to get in on a difficult conversation and a difficult situation. And some of you are thinking, hey, hold on. This is the middle of January. It's a little bit too early for difficult conversations and difficult situations. Hang in there. There is great hope in this text in John chapter 11. And I want to talk to you about this text about a lady by the name of Martha. And the conversation she's having is difficult because of a couple of factors. The conversation is difficult, firstly, because it involves people that know each other well. How many of you know that sometimes the hardest conversations are often had between people that know each other well? Right? Some of your crunchiest conversations are always with the people that you know best. You don't have a crunchy conversation with a barista that serves you coffee. You might be unimpressed with them, but can't you just kind of leave and just go, right? How many of you know that some of the hardest conversations you have are with people that you know well? Yeah. And so that's because it's a hard conversation. And because they knew each other well, expectations were heightened. How many of you have high expectations of the people that you know, right? If you don't know someone, you don't really expect anything from them. But the people that you know very well, you have high expectations of them. I'm talking to you, husbands and wives. High expectations of the people that you know well. It's a difficult situation because the end of the whole scenario seemed like it resulted in a negative outcome. So we're going to pick up this account now in John chapter 11. It says verse 1, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair." Very important bit of information. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Think about that message being sent to Jesus. "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." In verse 17, it said, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb or deceased for 4 days. Now Bethany, the name of the town, was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their fair brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." How many of you have ever felt in a season in your life where you've got faith in God, you believe in who He is, but you're a little confused with what He's doing? How many of you have been in that place? How many of you finished the end of 2025, you reflect on the things you were believing for God to do, but then you start 2026 and you find yourself not much further ahead than where you thought you were going to be, like where you thought you started at the start of last year? And so today I want to speak to you on this thought. I've got faith, but I'm frustrated. I've got faith, but I'm frustrated. Can you give these guys a big hand? Thank you so much, musicians. I've got faith, but I'm frustrated. How many of you know that two things can be true at once? You can be full of faith, but you can also be a little frustrated in God. You can come to the 8 to 12 p.m., 12 a.m. prayer meeting and believe God for stuff, but you can also carry a little bit of frustration for some of the things that He hasn't yet done. Two things can be true at once. It's the sense that you believe that God can, but what you're observing is that He won't. You got a sense that God is able, but it's not really clear why He isn't. And I wanted to start this year through the eyes of Mary, of Martha in this account, and her sister Mary. And I'm going to bring you back again to some theology to stand on, because if we don't know how to deal with frustrations with God sometimes as men and women of faith, we can come into a place where our frustrations will start to eat away at our faith. Make sense to you guys? Because most of our frustrations in our faith journey with God as we get into this have very little to do with the character of God. Most of the time, our frustrations with God have mostly to do with the timing of God. Follow me so far. We're all cool with the fact that God is good, God is great, He is loving, He is gracious. Our frustrations with God have a lot to do with the timing of God. We know He can, but we're not really sure why He ain't doing it right now. Right? And our frustrations when it comes to the character of God can be a little confusing, because we feel like we know Him. We know You, God. We read our Bibles. We go to Connect Group. We come to church. We walk closely with You, but we're a little confused as to what You're doing right about now. And to this end, I'm asking you this question. Are you intimate with Him, but maybe a little ignorant about His timing? Because I think sometimes we can know His character, but we don't really sure about the timing of God. In this account in John chapter 11, Mary and Martha and Lazarus, as we, you know, these three siblings are close to Jesus. They've probably known Jesus for a really long time. They believe that He is God incarnate, the Messiah. None of that's in question. And Lazarus takes ill. He ain't looking good. He's breathing shallow probably. He's unconscious. There's barely a pulse. They sent word to Jesus, who was a little distance away, probably a day and a half's travel away. And this was the message that they sent to Jesus. I said, Jesus, the one whom You love is sick. Lord, the one whom You love is sick. How many of y'all walked with Jesus and you feel like you can strong arm Jesus to make you jump the queue to make your prayer request the number one on the top of His list? This was what Martha was trying to do. I call it mates rates prayers. You understand what I'm talking about? Like where you expect preferential treatment because of the already pre-existing relationship you got with that mechanic or that plumber. You know what I'm talking about? Come on, don't get quiet on me. Mates, rates, prayers. Like, Lord, the one whom You love is sick. In other words, drop all the things that you're doing in ministry in that town and come quickly, because our prayer request is the most important thing that's going on right now. This is going to mess with your theology, because it says this in verse 5. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Loved them. So, when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was 2 more days. There are very few verses in the Bible that have confused me more than John chapter 11, verse 5 and verse 6. He loved them, but He stayed where He was another 2 more days. How many of you feel like God loves you, but He's staying where He is for a few extra days when He should be coming right about now? Don't get quiet on me. Come on. I feel like I'm in this season right now where I feel like I'm walking close to God. And I know in Bunbury right now here in Myrie, I just feel it prophetically. There are some people right here. Starting 2026, you know God loves you, but it feels like He's silent. You know God loves you and He's got great plans and purposes for your life. You memorize Jeremiah chapter 29, 11. You got it at the back of your toilet door, the whole thing. You've written out all your scriptures of faith. You're believing God. You know His character, but it feels like heaven is silent. You've lodged all these 27 prayer requests, but it feels like Jesus is staying where He is. And there's this beautiful picture here, because I don't know a single Christian. I've been a pastor for nearly 22 years. Can you believe it? And I've never heard a single Christian say, God didn't come when I needed Him. I feel so loved by Him. Never. Said no one ever. We've never equated love with the delays of God. And yet, I think sometimes it's important for us to understand how to navigate being a person of faith while also still being frustrated with God. Because if we don't know how to navigate that sense of frustration and being a person of faith, we can craft a wrong theology on the character of God. Come on, somebody. Based on the timing of God. We can start to equate some wrong things about God based on whether He comes to us in the way that we expect Him to or not. Sometimes we can allow the character of God that we know to be tainted because of what we perceive as the timing of God. Listen to what Martha said in John chapter 11, verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus. So she acknowledges his lordship. And then she says this, if you had been here, my brother would not have... See the frustration? Lord, I believe you. I believe in you. But had you come a little earlier, my brother would not have died. I wonder if there's people in the room and in Bunbury have ever said this to God. God, if you'd only given me that job that I applied for, I would not have missed out on that home loan application and we'd be in a house by now. How many of you ever said that? Lord, if only you'd come through for me there with that pay rise, we would have got that rental application approved. Lord, if you'd just come through for me there in this era of my life, I wouldn't be in this situation right now. I don't know if there's somebody in the room that have ever said to God, God, if only. God, if only you'd done this, I wouldn't be where I am today. I have faith in you, Jesus, but I'm frustrated with you too. The reason why this sermon is so vital and I feel to release it to people today is because what you don't realize is that when it comes to our whole journey of faith, frustration is extremely exhausting. It's never neutral. It always costs you. Frustration is described as the experience of having a desired outcome blocked or inhibited. It fires our stress response system. Our cortisol levels spike. Our bodies are in this indefinite period of fight or flight. And if you're an overthinker, when you're frustrated, you think you can overthink your way out of frustration. And so you find this yourself in this place where eventually it starts to erode your faith in God, because when you're trying to hold faith and frustration in the same hands, eventually frustration will take over if it's undealt with. Come on, somebody. And if that frustration during your waiting seasons are undealt with, it will affect your relationship with Him. And eventually, the prayer language that you have, prayer of faith, starts to sound like this. How long more, God? In fact, David writes this in Psalm 13, verse 1. You can see the faith and the frustration in the same phrase. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts? Day after day, after I have sorrow in my heart, how long will my enemy triumph over me? Scholars don't attribute this particular writing to any event, but it's left conveniently general, I guess, because they feel like it was an extended season in David's life where he felt like he believed in God, but God was silent. God was delaying. There was no way to be seen. And frustration doesn't initially steal from your belief, but it steals from your relationship with God, because frustration doesn't say, I don't believe in you anymore, God. But frustration says, God, where were you when I needed you? Where were you when I needed you? And eventually that frustration will start to erode your faith. And I just sense that there's some people here that you've allowed the timing of God that you don't understand to start to taint the character of God that you do understand. And today I'm going to shift you back to a place where your revelation of His character must shape your understanding of His timing, not the other way around. Because so many times we allow the timing of God that we don't understand to start to taint the character of God that we do understand. But it's time for us to come back to anchor ourselves in the character of God and let that be the thing that forms our understanding of His timing. Come on, somebody. Right? Because if you let His timing shape your understanding of His character, you will eventually conclude, because some of you know, He doesn't wear the same watch as you. He doesn't work to your same Asana list as you. He doesn't work to your same Apple calendar as you. And if your timing is misaligned with His and His is not the same as yours, you will end up concluding, because He didn't come for me there, He's a bad God. He doesn't love me. He doesn't care for me. I'm invisible to Him. Come on, somebody. But when you allow your revelation of His character, that He is a good God, that He cares for you, that He knows the hairs on your head. In my case, it's a very simple knowing because there's no hair on my head. He just knows me. But He knows all about you and knows all about the intricacies of your life. Then you know that if He is to delay in answering your prayers, He's got something better in hand. Come on, somebody. You will conclude that He loves me, and though He's late for a good reason. When your anchor is His character, then it will inform your understanding of the delay. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? I love what Martha in John chapter 11 and David, as we read in Psalm 13, I love what they did with their frustrations. They held faith, but they were also holding frustrations in the one hand. And I see it right throughout Scripture with Abraham, with Nehemiah, with Joseph, with Paul. The list goes on. All of these men and women of God that had faith in God, but were a little confused with the timing of God, is that I want to remind someone that in 2026, if you're holding faith and frustration in the same hands, turn your frustrations into trust. Turn your frustrations into trust. See, when Jesus arrives after 4 days, it's like, what are you doing, Jesus? You could have come a little earlier. But Jesus walks up after 4 days. Martha runs out to Jesus, not to greet Him with a kiss, but to give Him a mouthful. How many of you ever given Jesus a bit of lip? I'm sure Martha was an Aussie. She was a good Aussie woman. She was giving Him lip. She said, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But she turns her frustrations into trust. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus turns to her and said, your brother will rise again. Man, I'm wondering if I'm talking to someone prophetically today. There's some people here where you're holding frustration and faith in the same hands. And maybe in different seasons, you've allowed the sense of the uncertainty and the timing of God to taint your understanding of His character. Maybe today God wants to shift you back to a place where you are anchored in His character and allowing that to shape your understanding of the timing of God. Come on, someone. And maybe you're frustrated here today and God is saying to you, I want you to turn your frustrations into trust. There's some people here, maybe someone in Bunbury that's watching. It's time to turn the weariness of your waiting into the wonder of your trusting. Come on, somebody. There's someone here in Myrie where God is wanting to tell you to turn the frustration of His timing into the joy of trusting His character and His nature and His love towards you. Even David in Psalm chapter 13, after ranting, how long must I wait? How long, God, will you forget about me? How long must I struggle with these thoughts in my life? In verse 5, he says this, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. I'm wondering if there's people today that you started your year saying, God, how long will my husband and I continue to wait for a child? How long will we need to wait for a breakthrough in our marriage? How long more? How many more prayer meetings do you want me to come to? How many more prayer requests do you want me to lodge before we can finally get approval for our own home? How long more will I need to wait? And I sense that you're holding faith and frustration in the same hand. See, this is important because before I lead you to step into faith for all that God has for you in 2026, we've got to learn to deal with the frustrations that are a residue of unanswered prayers from the years before. Come on, somebody. It's time to turn our frustrations into trust, to say, but I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. The reason why this is so important, and I reckon one of the key planks in turning frustration into trust, is to remind ourselves that what God has in store is always greater than the outcome we were hoping for. Because if you were to read the rest of John chapter 11, Lazarus died. He obviously did. He was dead for 4 days. But Jesus rose him from the dead. See, when the initial message was sent to Jesus, he was a few kilometers away, maybe a day and a half's journey away. They said, Lord, Lazarus, whom you love, is sick. Come quickly. Make straights. Jump the queue. Come now. Jesus said, I love those guys. But fellas, let's hang out here for a couple of days.
Let's just let it play out. If I was Martha, I would have been incensed. It's like, I thought we were friends. How many ever said that to Jesus? I thought we were friends. I thought you loved me. Let me say this. Martha wanted a healing. Jesus wanted a resurrection. Could it be that what you don't understand about his timing, the Lord has a far greater outcome that you could not even possibly imagine cooking up behind the scenes to start your 2026? If you're here, you're holding frustration and trust in the same hands. Could it be that God knows what's at hand more than you do? See, Martha would have taken a healing any day of the week. That was the outcome she wanted in the timing she had planned. She looked at her sick brother and God, this dude ain't got more than 24 hours. Jesus, you better come. She had a preconceived idea of what a breakthrough looked like. Jesus had other plans that she didn't know about. Come on, somebody. Maybe you're sitting here today, you're holding faith and frustration in the same hands. You finished 2025 saying, God, the things that I was believing for at the start of 25, I'm not falling for that again. Don't ask me to come to the prayer meeting again because I believed 12 months ago and it still hasn't happened. I'm here to tell you today, Martha wanted a healing, but Jesus had a resurrection in mind. Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to die. He was going to be in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus wanted to raise him from the dead as evidence of his divinity. Come on, somebody. Because no one were believing that he was the Jesus, the Son of the living God. But this was the moment that everyone looked at Jesus and thought, well, this guy must be the Son of God because he can conquer death. It was evidence once and for all that Jesus was the Messiah. See, I don't know about you, but we want an immediate quick fix for our problems. Jesus wants a testimony that glorifies the Father. For so many of us, we equate delays with punishment. But I'm here to remind you today that the uncertainties of his timing, the times when he doesn't come through for us when we want him to, the seasons where we don't understand what he's doing and heaven seems silent, is actually not a punishment, but a preparation. What's the preparation for? It's a preparation for a greater testimony. It's a preparation for a story that you never thought could unfold. And it's a preparation for something that looks completely different to what you can conceive. See, here's the thing, and this is what I want, why I wanted to preach it. Before we get into that big season of prayer and believing God for things in 2026, when we pray, we want problems fixed. But Jesus wants the Father glorified. And for some of us, we've got a limited view on how Jesus works. We think he's a genie in the bottle. We give it a little rub, out he pops, and grants us all the wishes. Can I suggest to you today that he's not a genie, but he's a Lord? You following me so far? Right? We may want our problems fixed, but Jesus has a greater plan at stake. He wants the Father glorified. He wants your life to testify of the miraculous outworking of God. There are things in your life right now. Maybe you're just prepared in your prayer life to settle for a small problem to get fixed in a small way. But what if Jesus is saying, I want to use whatever you're going through right now to leave a legacy for the next generation. I want to use whatever you're going through right now for God to do something in your life right now that could never have been achieved had I just come and been a little genie in a bottle that just fixed it and wave my magic wand. Come on, somebody. Right? Maybe in 2026, you're still waiting. It feels like Jesus is hanging out somewhere far away, nowhere even close to what you're going through right now. My prayer for you today is to turn your frustrations into trust. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? I want to just land with this extra layer. So Jesus gets to Bethany and Martha runs up to him, gives him a mouthful. She was fierce, man. I would not want to cross Martha. On a good day, I would not want to cross her. She gives Jesus a mouthful. Jesus senses her angst, senses her sense of disappointment and frustration. And he understands what's going on. And Jesus asks the people that were there. Actually, we should read it. I already forgot. Verse 38. It says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. He says this in verse 39. Take away or roll away the stone. Here's Martha again. But Lord, you gotta love this lady. How many of you are a little bit of a Martha? I'm a bit of a Martha. Martha, the sister of a dead man. By this time, there is a bad odor, for it's been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? I feel to just add this extra layer. When you're holding faith and frustration in the same hands, it's not a license to be disobedient to God. Jesus said, no, you're frustrated, Martha, but I want you to roll away the stone. If I was Martha, I'd be thinking, what, are you crazy? The dude's been dead 4 days. There's no coming back from here. There's decomposition, Jesus, just in case you know. You want to smell? Jesus says, roll away the stone. If you're here today and you feel like there's so many areas in your life where God hasn't come through for you, it's in these seasons that God often asks you to do things that don't make any sense. What stone is he asking you to roll away at the start of 2026 before Lazarus even comes out of the tomb? What am I talking about? You're believing God for a child. Makes no sense that he's drawing you to serve at Kids Church. You guys getting real quiet now. You believe in God for a home, to own your own house. Tried many times, not successful. Different offers, not back. Still stuck, no permanency. Saying, God, how long? And God is saying, I want you to help those three people in your connect that are going to be moving house this year. Help them to move into their own house. Roll the stone away. Roll the stone away. You got tools. Help that single mom move into a rental, fix a door, roll that stone away. See, that would have poked and triggered all kinds of frustrations in Martha. You could have come earlier, Jesus, and now you're asking me to roll the stinking tombstone away. So much work for what? It could have been so much easier if you'd come and just healed my brother. We wouldn't have to go through this whole rigmarole. And yet here you are. You dare to ask me to roll the stone away? He's dead 4 days. And yet Jesus is saying, roll the stone away. I'm speaking to somebody today. Just because you're holding faith and frustration in the same hands, it doesn't give you a license for disobedience. There are times when God will ask you to do things that won't make sense to you. Say yes anyway, because the greater miracle is at hand. Lazarus was going to come out of the tomb. She just didn't know it yet. Come on, somebody. Maybe in 2026, if there are things that remain unanswered in your life, instead of saying, Jesus, where were you? Just say, Jesus, what stone do you want me to roll away? Come on, musicians, come and join me. Ask him, Jesus, what stone do you want me to roll away in faith right now? And I know it might be the very thing that is going to poke at my unanswered prayer. But what's the very stone you need me to roll away? I know that I'm believing God for a breakthrough in my finance. Is the stone being rolled away the fact that I'm going to bless someone with some cash that really needs it right now? Come on, somebody. Well, what's the stone that you need rolled away? Like I said before, maybe you believe in starting your own family. Why don't you start loving on your nephews and nieces that need a godly auntie? Come on, somebody. Start with that. Roll that stone away. Maybe you're in a place right now, you're saying, God, I don't understand what's going on right now. I'm not even living in the suburb that I want to be living in. I don't know why I'm here. Roll the stone away and start having a chat to the neighbors on the other side of you. Start sharing your testimony. Cook them a meal. Invite them over. Come on, am I speaking to a church today? You don't know what's on the other end of your stone rolling obedience. Martha asked some friends to come and they pushed the stone. After 4 days, Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth. It's not the end or the outcome she was expecting, but it was a far greater one. She just wanted her brother healed. Jesus wanted this man resurrected. I don't know where you're at today to start 2026, but I really feel prophetically that there are some people here in Myrie and Bunbury that you're carrying weariness because you're a man of faith, but you're frustrated. You're a woman of faith, but you're frustrated. At a personal level, we know what that feels like. Even in our own family with our boy, full of faith, but we're frustrated. I don't want to start the year walking in faith, but having undealt with frustrations. Today I feel on this third Sunday of 2026, it's time for us to turn our frustrations into trust. And say, God, I want to start this year with a clean slate, fully knowing that the disappointments of last year and the year before that, and feeling stuck and confused about your timing, I don't want to allow my lack of understanding about your timing to frame or inform my understanding of your character. I want to be rooted and grounded in your character, and I'll allow that to inform my understanding of your timing and your delay. Can we give God a big shout of praise today? Come on, why don't you stand to your feet right across this room?
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.